Hallelujah. You know, you can do that anytime. Amen. You know, you can do that anytime. Just when there's these little interludes between songs, you don't need somebody else to give you words to praise the Lord. God has put, it says in the scripture that he has put a new song in my heart, even praise to our God. Many will hear it. Many will fear. Many will trust in the Lord. He's put a new song in our hearts. So we need to let it out. Let me say one other thing. That it just was thinking about it this morning, was came to mind while we were worshiping. When they were building Solomon's temple, you read all about it. It's a big building project. It's like a major building project. And there were craftsmen of all sorts. There were stone cutters and masons and you know, probably no electricians, but maybe a plumber or two was in there. And it says that there came a time when the presence of the Lord came and no one could do anything. The presence of the Lord, he didn't knock on the door. He didn't send something out ahead of him saying, hey, I'm gonna show up at 11:05. He just came. And when he came, nobody was saying, gee, I wonder what's going on. They fell to the floor. And you never know when God is going to show up. But I know this morning when I got up, I wiped the sleep from my eyes, I went to the bathroom, brushed my teeth. Everybody here is happy when I do that. And then I took a shower, and I put on some clean clothes, and I came. I did all this preparation, and we're all glad that everybody does this. But in our preparing to come to church, do we ever just stop and say, Holy Spirit, come this morning. Come, be with us. We need you. We're hungry. And you don't know. I mean, I've been in services where the presence of the Lord came in a powerful way, and it was the end of everything. Nobody could do anything. Just the presence of God. And he's done it in the past. He can do it again. And we need to ask him. We need to be hungry for it. Okay, so next Saturday, Irv and Ruth Schwant are going to be in town. They're going to be staying with us. Originally, they weren't going to be here on Sunday morning, but things have changed. They're probably going to be here, at least maybe to give a little update. They're not going to be speaking because we already have a speaker, but they'll probably be here. But next Saturday at our house, I didn't put our address on this sheet. I probably should have. But I don't know. If you need to know where we live, just ask. We'll tell you. 2901 Florida Avenue. But we're going to, from like 4 in the afternoon on Saturday till 7, we're just going to have a meet and greet. We're going to throw some hamburgers, some sausage on the grill. We have some things here that if you're interested, I want you to take this, pass it around. Put the family name, whatever family's coming, like we'll put Brazil, and then there'll be two of us, and then we can put an X under whatever we want to bring, and then we can just bring that with us. If you don't want to bring anything, that's okay. But we're just giving the opportunity if you want. One other thing I would say, that we're going to have water and coffee and tea, but if you want to have some other beverage, all non-alcoholic, you can bring that yourself, and just bring what you like. So we're going to pass this around, and it's going to be next Saturday, May 16th, 4 o'clock till about 7 o'clock. And we have a great time of fellowship. Hang out, get to talk with the Schwants one-on-one, face-to-face, what's going on, what's happening, how can I be a missionary in Kenya, that kind of stuff, okay? So I'll start here with Miss Judy, here you go. And so, I think that's it. Now, this morning, you're wondering, is Tom going to preach? No, Tom's not going to preach today. By the way, Pastor Dave is on a family. He's doing a family thing today, and so he's not here. We'll miss him, but he's having a good time, a little kickback time too, and enjoy a little relaxation. But this morning, We have a young man who's been with us now for a while, and he's going to bring the word this morning. He really doesn't need a lot of introduction. We all know him as the guy who knows everything about everything that goes on in this building. So we want to have him bring the word. So if we could just welcome Andy, where are you at? There he is. Let's welcome Andy and open our hearts to hear what the Lord has for us through him. God bless you, my brother.
Okay, let me get set up here real quick. I really, really wish the presence of the Lord would have showed up during worship and then I wouldn't have had to preach. Just to be honest here. This is stressful and hard. I mean, I did this for youth and I did this at NYSEM and, you know, I didn't think anything of that then. You know, I just got up and preached. But here I have, you know, Pastor Dave's going to listen to the recording and, you know, expel me from the church. Tom's over here, you know, elder of Elam Fellowship, which I'm a part of. He's going to, you know, revoke my credentials or something if I speak heresy. This is a new level of, and I have gone through a roller coaster of stress and studying, and the last 3 days I've been waking up at like 4 a.m., 3 days, 4 days, 4 a.m., you know, doing more study. I started with like 38 notes, or 38 pages worth of bullet point notes that at the beginning of this week I condensed down to 21. And then I started again, and it increased back to 30-something, so. I know. I'm very grateful that most people are absent. Thank you for being here, but, you know, it's okay if you guys want to go visit some other families. I'll give you a heads up before I speak again. All right, so. Let me just to ease my mind, I want to just make, you know, expectations or intentions clear so I can feel comfortable that we're all on this same level. And it's stuff we all know and probably do anyways. But my idea or my thoughts on church, especially in this Western format that we do, where we start off, we come in and we fellowship and we go into worship and then we have a sermon and preach, and then we go back and we fellowship and, you know, have prayer. To me, right, you come in, we start off with this fellowship of this engagement between, you know, you and me and all of us here, and we're encouraging each other and we're praying for each other and we're uplifting each other and just building a connection with each other. And we go from that into worship where we start with just, you know, turning our hearts towards the Lord and worshiping, and then it grows into this corporate thing where we're all unified in one heart, worshiping God and sending everything up to Him. And then we get to the preaching, which is supposed to be from God to us, right? You know, it's coming from my mouth, but He made my mouth and my thoughts, and He's the one that is, you know, pouring into me, you know, all this stuff, all 38 plus pages of notes, right? It's His fault, not my own. But, you know, this is a time that we get to hear from Him on stuff that we should maybe be taking and meditating on, that we should be internalizing, we should be taking all of this time that, you know, again, Pastor Dave does this on a weekly basis. I can't tell you how grateful I am for that. But every week we get a chance to hear, you know, what God is trying to work in us. And maybe it's something that we've already thought we worked on, but maybe it's something that's still down in there. And so today, I'm going to try and do that. If my phone stays on. Okay. itching. Not from poison ivy. All right. So I want to start off, after all that introduction and long pre-sermon statement, start off with 2 Timothy. In verse 1 and 2, he says, I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom, preach the word of God, be prepared whether the time is favorable or not, patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. Right, so that's what Dave does on a weekly basis for us. And it's great. And I love it. And I can't wait. You know, every week I get excited to come to church. I love, you know, right now sitting back there working on the sound and all the other crazy stuff that I end up volunteering myself for. But then we get into verse 3. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. Itching ears is, you know, it's the thing that stuck with me because it sounds like what we got today. Right? I see us a lot doing, you know, what not maybe us, but American culture doing what feels more comfortable to them. Verse 5. But we should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. Itching ears. Lord, I want to take this time to just thank you for all that you've done in my life, all that you do on a daily basis, for the blessings, for the correction, for the relationships that you've made in me, through me. Lord, I pray that as I share today, it would be your words, your sermon that goes forth. And I pray that no matter what is said here, that every one of us will have something that we can take home and internalize and bring to meditation with you for correction and growth. And I thank you, Lord. Amen. So again, I'm stuck on this itching ears. Itching. It's reminding me of the book of Judges, right? You know, the tribe of Israel, the nation of Israel at that point, is brought out of Egypt. In Judges, they're finally in the promised land. You know, Moses has passed away. Now I can't think of his name. Joshua and Caleb have passed away. Thank you for whoever said that. And they don't have a single person that they're following. Like, there's not one person who's in charge of the nation of Israel. It's God. God wanted them to all collectively turn to him for all their needs, everything that was going on in their lives. And they didn't. They kept going their own way. It says Israel did what was right in their own eyes. constantly turning back to sin. If we look at the books of 1st and 2nd Kings and to a lesser extent 1st and 2nd Chronicles, we get similar phrases. Although now it's no longer, you know, the nation of Israel is collectively doing what's right in their own eyes. It's a king who is leading them to do wrong. Phrases were used like made Israel to sin, caused Israel to sin, did evil in the sight of the Lord, walked in the way of name some sinful king and provoked the Lord to anger. There is a person who is leading them astray. They begged for this king, right? They saw all the other nations and, hey, this guy's a king. This nation's got a king. That's great. We should do what they're doing. That's dumb. Don't do what other people are doing. My mom always used to say, like probably some others, if they jump off a bridge, are you going to? Possibly. I was probably the first one to do it. But they're probably following me. But why would they follow? Why would they follow that king? Why would they, you know, go astray? They are the nation of Israel who was miraculously taken out of Egypt, who walked through the Red Sea, who was provided for in the desert with quail, with manna, water from rocks. The Lord showed up on mountains. And yet they still like, sure, let's go do these stupid things. One of the false gods that they would follow, one of the common ones, was Asherah. Asherah, this false god, was worshipped as a god of wisdom, fertility, prosperity. But unlike the other gods of Canaan at the time, her worship didn't start with child sacrifice or fear. It just started with attraction. It was simple. It was easy. Asherah poles would be set up everywhere, blending in with the scenery, right? They put them in the high places. They'd put them next to altars. It didn't matter who the altar was for. They would just put up a pole next to this altar. There was one queen in the nation of Judah that put an Asherah pole in the temple of Yahweh. I mean, as soon as you do that, you should be revolting against that queen. That's not the queen you want to follow. But they did. And God repeatedly commanded Israel to tear these things down. He did it in Deuteronomy 16:21. But to them, Asherah didn't seem extreme. Right? It didn't end with, you know, sacrificing something. It was just blending into the world around them. It was just common. But over time, it reshaped their hearts to want to follow those things. Follow your feelings. Live your truth. Just do whatever feels right, even if it goes against God. It doesn't matter what we're doing here, right? This has been here for ages. It's right next to us. It's, you know, something everybody else is doing. Why not do it? This doesn't sound different than where we're at today. There are people in this city who are doing what feels right for them, following their own truth, living their own lives, doing what they think is right. There's leaders that we follow, that we submit to, depending on what the situation is, that may live a life like that too. Some of these people who are living their own truth, who are doing whatever feels right to them, are also calling themselves Christians. I'm sorry, but you can't call yourself a Christian if you're just doing what's right in your own eyes. The whole idea of being named Christian is that I'm becoming more like Christ. Not that it's just this cool name that I picked up. It's not a name I was born with. It's a name I chose. This app is a bad idea, Tom. Trying out a new app to see if it would work for Pastor Dave, and it's really bad. I don't like it. In Galatians 5, we start in verse 16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. When we reshape the truth to allow it to fit our lifestyles, rather than letting the truth reshape us, we're doing the same thing as following these idols. We're doing the same thing as living this fleshly life. Jesus didn't come to fit into the culture. He came to transform it. He came to bring a new type of kingdom in our lives. Jesus calls us to follow, to stand up for truth, and not just what feels right. And see, that's what made Asherah so dangerous. Because every false god looks wrong. All these awful things looked wrong. But Asherah crept in there because we allowed it, because they allowed it. Felt entirely normal. Things in this life, as we're walking around, feel entirely normal. But are they right? Is it what God wants in our lives? Psalms 103. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear Him. His salvation extends to the children's children. of those who are faithful to his covenant, of those who obey his commandments. The Lord has made the heavens his throne. From there he rules over everything. Right, what are we doing in our lives? Do we start, right? You know, Proverbs says the beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord. Are we living a life of faith? Are we going to finish that race? In Luke 18, we get the story of the rich young ruler. Everybody remember that story? Right, rich young ruler, religious leader, comes to ask Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus starts by, you know the commandments. You must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not testify falsely. And he's, I've done these. I've done these since I was young. Jesus turns to him. There is still one thing you haven't done. Sell your possessions and give the money to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. But when the man heard this, he became sad, for he was very rich. So this is talking about the difficulty of having money or having possessions and entering the kingdom of God. But what if we turn those possessions into security? Comfort. Something easy, something attractive. Right? Are those things in our lives that we're still holding on to, that we're not able to let go to fully be obedient to God? There's a young comedian named Theo Von, who has a podcast, and he's currently going through this salvation time in his life. He is being very publicly open about it, and he's going on reading a story in John 5 about the man at the well. And he's looking at it, and he's discussing it with a guy, and he's like, this is difficult for me because I want a new life. I want a different story, but I don't know if I can get it. I want to let go of these things. I want to reject this sinful nature in me. I want salvation. I want to be different. But there's also a part of me that still wants to go after those things. He's being very public, very open, honest with what he's doing. And he talks about his prayer of, you know, Lord, help me not do this. But even more so, Lord, help get rid of the thing in me that wants to do this. Help remove whatever root is in me. What are we holding on to? Rich young ruler was holding on to his possessions, his security, his comfort. Are there things that we are holding on to? Are there things that we aren't going to let go or are still saying, I like this. This still brings me comfort. When Heather and I were first dating, and early in our marriage, we're sharing, we're growing with each other, we're, you know, discovering out things we like and enjoy, and I like movies and I like TV shows, I like a good story. But I was never a big reader as a kid or early adult. It wasn't until I got saved that I was like, okay, reading's okay, because the Bible's kind of a crazy story. I mean, Let's just, thank you. So, as we're sharing these things, there's things that, you know, I thought is pop culture. I'm like, hey, everybody should, you know this. Everybody's watched this, and I make references, and or I tell a story, and Heather's like, I don't even know. And so one of the things, I'm like, okay, well, let's watch some Marvel movies together. And she's like, sure, fine, whatever. And I pick the one to start. I start off with Iron Man, because that was cool. Or, you know, I was a teenager when it came out, and so I'm like, this is awesome. Well, we get into it, and it's just a lot of violence. Heather doesn't watch violence. Heather keeps herself a totally different life than I've grown up as or lived in. She doesn't watch violence. So I don't even think we made it through that movie. We turned it off. There was too much violence. There was, you know, death. And I'm like, what's the problem? I don't even think of it, right? Just, it's what I grew up with. So it's like, okay, well, now I can't watch movies like that with her. I can't share those experiences with her. So, maybe pick out a comedy, right? Let's do something that's funny, right? There's no violence in funny things. Funny things are usually just funny. So I'm like, I'm making references to the show The Office. Has anybody else seen The Office? Yeah? No? Don't watch it. I don't think anything. She said, you know, hey, I couldn't get through, you know, the first season. I'm like, okay, well, the first season was awkward. Absolutely. Let's just start in the second season. Right? There's nothing wrong in this TV show. It's, you know, it aired on, you know, primetime television. It was, you know, it means even less now. But there's nothing wrong with it. I've watched this show so many times, right? It was great. First episode we get into, and it's just nonstop sexual jokes. And again, you know, I didn't get saved till late in life. Heather's been saved a lot longer than me and has committed herself to the Lord. So these things that I don't even blink an eye at, I don't even see, she's like, I can't do this. It made me realize there are things that I have allowed that have changed me that aren't good, that aren't right, that I shouldn't be putting in. It's very hard. I love a good war movie. John Wayne's the best. Let's just, thank you, Dave. But what are we allowing in our lives? Right, there's something in me that I've had to change. I have to constantly invite the Holy Spirit in to correct, to change, to break up the hardness of my heart. And are we going to go back? Right. What are we holding on to? What are we allowing? And will we go back? I know I'm doing good. Second Corinthians 13, verse 16. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away, for the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit is, the Lord is. There is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord, and the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. You, having turned to the Lord, has the Spirit of the Lord removing a veil that has been keeping you blind. Now he's working in us. He's working in you. He's working in me. There's things that I used to do that I don't do anymore. His Spirit is constantly changing in me as I allow it. And I need to allow it constantly. We go back to Galatians 5. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these. There's things in our lives that we need to let go. There's things in our life that we have been allowing. And as I've gone this journey, I can't go back. I can't go back to those things, that same Asherah pole that was just blending into the scenery, the culture around me. I don't want you guys to go back. I can't do it by myself. You can't do it by yourself. It's the Holy Spirit working in us that's giving us the power to do this, the power to be better, the power to let go of things, the power to avoid things, to keep our lives holy and pure as He is holy and pure. I want to tell one last story. I think that's one last story. It's about the Batman effect. I'm getting approval in different forms all around. All right, so the Batman effect was a psychological study done with little kids. Little kids. Where they took these kids, they gave them a difficult to somewhat impossible task. And then they asked all of them, do you guys have any heroes or superhero that you like? And one kid stands up and shouts, Batman. I like Batman. And so they're like, okay, you kids, we're all going to do this almost impossible task. But you, who likes Batman, do this task as Batman would. Pretend you're Batman. And he's like, sweet, I can pretend to be Batman. All these kids, I don't know how many there was, there's quite a bit, they only spent 2 or 3 minutes on their impossible task, the thing that was difficult. But the one kid who was pretending to be Batman spent 20 minutes trying to figure out an impossible task before he gave up. 20 minutes. Opposed to his colleagues or his peers who were given, 2 minutes. People doing the research are like, that's cool. Let's take this a step further. They get a different group of kids. Another impossible task. They ask the same thing. You got a superhero. Again, someone says Batman. At which point they're like, perfect. Everybody else, you're going to go do this task. The one kid that likes Batman, who says, hey, Batman's my hero, they're like, you're going to take this, do this task, pretending to be Batman, while also dressed as Batman. Had a little costume for him. He put on the little costume. He's now dressed as Batman, pretending to be Batman, doing an impossible task. Again, all the other kids stop after 2 to 3 minutes. The kid dressed up as Batman, pretending that he was Batman, worked on that thing for almost an hour. Galatians 2:20 says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Living this life perfect, impossible. Fixing our sin nature, impossible. Unless we have God. Unless the Holy Spirit is working in us. He gives us the power and the strength and the ability and the desire to go out and do these impossible things. To regenerate our life to be more and more and more like Him. To live this Christian life. To be worthy of that name, Christian. Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. Point out everything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. I want to encourage you guys. I want to challenge you guys, every one of us. Ask the Holy Spirit. Search me. Find what's wrong in me. If there's something in me that is rooted deep, help me dig that out. I don't want to continue living this same story. I want to be a new story. I want to live like Christ lived. I want Christ living in me so radically that the people I grew up with won't recognize me. I mean, that's also going to happen for me because I'm bald now, and you know, I had hair back then. I didn't come out looking like this. But I want to encourage you guys. Make this prayer. Search me, O God. Come, correct what is wrong in me. Let me pray. Lord God, I thank you for all that you speak to us, all that you do in our lives. And I just pray for the courage to continually ask on a daily basis, to search me, to root out the things that offend you, to bring me into this new life. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit would work your good fruit in us, that we would have love, joy, peace, patience, faithfulness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. I pray that these things would be not just evident to ourselves, but evident to those around us. That we would be a blessing, an encouragement, salt to this community that we're a part of. To all those who come in contact with us, we'll see that there is something different. And it would draw them towards you. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Don?
That was challenging. I would like to just take it one step farther. We had just a time of prayer and reflection just now. I'm not sure how you do things in your life, but I have a prayer list so that in the morning, you know, when I'm going through my devotional, I don't trust my memory because my memory is not that great. So I have a list, and I just go through that thing and I pray about it. Make a list if you need to, but every day. This is not a one and done thing. This is a walking out. You know, walk out your salvation. Just keep working it out. And one of the things that I heard, and I think it's very important, is don't get so comfortable in the world that you don't recognize that you've drifted from what God has for you. Did I hear that right? Okay. Amen. So, Father, we are thankful. Help us, Lord. Holy Spirit, draw us. Make us to be the men and women, Lord, that you want us to be, that you created us to be. And we give you thanks for it. Thank you for this message. We pray that it would remain in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, well, happy Mother's Day to all you moms. Don't forget to take some of that stuff that's back in that basket. And men, you stay away from it. And if anyone needs prayer, obviously, we are ready to pray. So just come on up and we will pray with you. The Lord bless you. If you didn't sign this sheet for whatever reason and you need to, by all means, come up and sign it. God bless you. Have a great day doing whatever it is you're going to do this Mother's Day.